Well, hey, hey, everyone. It's Erin Postal here with Jeff, and we are
Hello, hello.
episode 2 of the Ageless Rebels. And, well, Jeff, today we're talking about one of my favorite subjects, as you know, the law of attraction, and how I've used this in my life to not only attract you, my soulmate, but how I've been able to use the law of attraction to build wealth for our family. And really just help thousands of people do the same thing. So I'm really hoping by the end of this podcast that people walk away with, you know, kind of the how-tos of how to use the law of attraction. So, I mean, I know I'm a freak show. I've been studying this stuff for 20 years, but like in your mind, what is the law of attraction? And like, what's your basic understanding of it? Because I think a lot of people might like resonate with how you describe the law of attraction.
Well, like you're mentioning, implemented this throughout your life, and you know that's one of the things I fell in love with you is because you just had that go-get mindset. You know, you believed in things. You've always been a vision board person. You know, you've always told me your goals, and they've always come true. So to me, yeah, it's just the way I could describe it for me was maybe if I'm hunting or something and I'm out in a field and I'm in my blind and I'm there because I'm in that time and moment. I am not there to find a deer or find the biggest buck. So in my mind, I'm thinking about that buck. I'm visualizing it coming out in the field, you know, the smells, the sounds, listening. And to me, you know, and I do believe it works because if you're set up and you believe that it's going to happen, it normally happens. Yeah, it's a pretty neat thing.
Well, you said something really cool, like just the smells and being in the moment. And it's like you're experiencing that deer coming in before it's coming, like before it arrives, you're kind of like really connected and in the moment to it before it even happens.
And then there's no surprises. You know what I mean? You know, it's not like, oh my gosh, there's the deer and you're shaking or whatever. It's like, okay, I've already seen this deer in my mind and I know what I have to do. And that goes with anything in life, you know, like when I became a search and rescue technician, you know, I visualized myself flying and jumping out of airplanes, you know, before I ever did it. But then when I did it, it was a lot scarier than what I visualized, but it was a great experience to do that and to put that in my mind.
Yeah. Well, you just hit the nail on the head. Like you experience it beforehand already. And that's really the secret. So, there we go. The secret. And that's where it all began for me. So if we were to like rewind the clock 10 plus years, I remember the first exposure that I had to the law of attraction was on Oprah. That was the thing, ladies, you guys remember, like around 4 or 5 o'clock at night at dinner, you're prepping dinner. And it was all about watching Oprah. And I was watching this show and they had two life coaches on there, Martha Beck, who I then went on to train with, and this woman, Meadow DeVore, two law of attraction experts. And they were talking about the secret, the law of attraction, and how what you think about, you can bring about. And this is a law. It's just like the law of gravity. Whether you believe in the law of gravity, if you pick up something, it will fall down. It is a law of nature. And the law of attraction is happening all around us all the time, whether you buy into it or not, it's happening. And when I saw these guys on Oprah, I was like, it aligned so deeply with me. It was like winning the lottery. I felt like I don't know. It just was like almost a euphoric feeling of somebody taking what I've always known to be true and like describing it in a couple of sentences. To me, it was mind blowing. And Jeff, I'll just tell a real quick story about that. And then I want to get into teaching people how to use the law of attraction. But I remember watching this show. And like I said, hearing Martha Beck spoke with like, it just was like music to my ears. I fell in love with this whole idea. And I saw that she trained life coaches. And remember back in the olden days, like we didn't have money. Like we didn't have a lot. You were making decent money. I was working part-time. We had the kids. We didn't have a lot of extras. And I remember seeing that she trained coaches. And honestly, I think this is when the internet just came out and we had our computer down in the basement. And I went down and I Googled it and I saw that she trained life coaches, but it was like $2,000 US or it was like, yeah, I think it was 2000.
That was quite expensive, I remember.
And you were like, no way, not happening. And I told my sister about it. And I was like, Ange, oh my God, this woman, she trains coaches, is like winning the lottery. Like, I can't even. And she called me back a couple hours later and said, Brad and I are going to pay for this. We believe in you. We know you're going to help thousands of people. And that was a pretty epic moment.
Oh yeah, for sure. That was awesome. Yeah.
And I took the course. And from that moment on is when I really started to learn about how to use the law of attraction. And as a result of that, you know, been able to really help thousands of people. So, and that brings us right up to today and talking about the law of attraction. So, so the law of attraction really is a law. And the idea is with the law of attraction, if you want to bring something into your life, if you can see it, feel it, taste it, and you can experience it all now in the present, then that's like a magnet. You will attract it to you. Kind of just like what you described with the hunting, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I think you mentioned a story about one of your ex-boyfriends before that, that you got basically dumped. And you were mentioning that it kind of set you on the path to where you are now.
Maybe yeah, you want to touch on that. You bet. And how I attracted you into my life.
Yes,
so
yes, my awesomeness.
So I was a teacher, grade 5 teacher up in Prince George, stinky little Prince George. And I was dating this guy, this blonde surfer dude kind of guy. And he invited me down to Whistler for the week for the spring break. So I went down to Whistler and lo and behold, I get there and I got the vibe pretty quick that he was not being faithful to me. And I could tell that I was on the way out. I think he was having a fling with this New Zealand lifty. I could just tell, right? It was like, man, I was so pissed, but I couldn't compete with her accent and her awesomeness. And I was like, this little chubby teacher. I just didn't know what was up. So anyhow, it was like pretty sad because I was a small town girl. I hopped in the Greyhound bus and took the bus to Vancouver. And I went to stay with my friend Teresa. And she kind of had the life that I visualized that I was going to have later. You know, she was married, she had this amazing husband, and I thought, this is the kind of guy that I want to be with. And when I met him, there was something about him. You know, he was tall, he was dark, he had like this amazing energy to him, you know. And mm-hmm. And it was kind of like when I met him, it was just like the moment I met you, it was like it hit right into me, and I thought, that's the kind of guy that I'm going to be with. And I remember leaving that weekend and kind of having that vision in my mind and in my heart, and knowing it was like ordering in a restaurant. You order your meal and you know it's coming, right? You set the intention, you know it's coming. And that's what I did. And so when I met you 5 years later in that coffee shop, and it hit me, this is the guy that I've ordered up from the universe, you know? And
yes. Yeah. I thought you thought I was a jerk though.
Well, I did think you were a jerk because I mean,
I wasn't a jerk. I was just,
you were quiet. Just, you're quiet. Right. But I knew that that was the energy of a human that I wanted was somebody. I mean, the words that like how you presented on the outside, I knew wasn't really who you were on the inside. I was looking for somebody who was calm and powerful and a guy's guy and who was a leader and, you know, just everything, even down to the hair color and your size and everything. And I remember when I met you in the coffee shop and you were a little bit cocky, I think you were probably trying to impress me or something. So that wasn't in alignment with who I knew you were. But anyhow, it all worked out. But I had that vision in my mind and in my heart of what I wanted. And then went out it and attracted it.
Yeah, and vice versa. You know, like I mentioned to you in the past that, you know, when I first met you, of course, it wasn't like, I'm going to marry this woman right off the bat. You know, I was in a relationship. But as I got to know you and spend more time with you, you know, on a friend-to-friend basis, I realized what kind of person you were and how pure and just an amazing individual. And, you know, and I guess we always go back to the story that my dad told at our wedding, you know, when he had met your twin sister. He always said to me, he meet a like Ange, and sure enough, at her wedding, he told that story, and I found the twin. So
yeah, because he
it was
said, and you
awesome.
kind of glitched out there for a sec in case people didn't hear it. I mean, you better plug your phone
Okay,
in.
sorry.
I think it's dying. He said, you know, why can't you meet a girl like Ange? And lo and behold, there was a girl like Ange. It was actually me. It was her twin. So
yeah,
how
it
do
was
you,
pretty amazing.
how do you, you know, how do we bring in the law of attraction into our life? Well, the very first thing is deciding what you want, right? It's really, and for a lot of people, especially in your 40s, a lot of people in their 40s, they stop dreaming, right? They stop thinking about, there's Stormy shaking. People stop dreaming because I think when we're younger, we set up goals like this is going to be my career. Then I'm going to get married. Then I'm going to have kids. And I think a lot of people, and myself included, sometimes stop dreaming. So that's the very first thing is, you know, I want you to start dreaming again and thinking about where you want to be in the next 5 years, where you want to be in the next 10 years, right? And that's the number one thing. And if there were no rules and if there were no limits, where would you be physically, financially, mentally, relationship-wise? And you have to start dreaming. And if you can visualize it in your mind, if you can see it in your mind, then you can hold it in your hands. You can create it.
Yeah, that's true.
Tell me about,
yeah, for sure.
You know, when you, there was two big parts in your life when I know that you implemented the law of attraction. Number one, it was when you did that triathlon, an Ironman triathlon. You had never really done any triathlons and you made the decision to do it. So
no.
How did you prepare for that mentally? What did you do to make sure that you created that?
Well, I was always an athlete in high school, but one day I was watching the Ironman, and at that time it was in Penticton, you know, the full Ironman. And I said to my mom, I should do that. And of course, my mom and I think my dad was there. And they're like, oh, that's too hard. You couldn't do that. And I'm like, really? So I signed up. I ended up buying myself a crappy little bike from like Canadian Tire, like a 12 speed or 10 speed. And I biked. So my high school was about, you know, 30 kilometers away. I would bike to school every day. We didn't have a lake around where I grew up on a farm. So we had a river and I'd swim in the river in one spot to train for swimming because I wasn't a great swimmer. I would run on the weekends. But the funny thing is when I showed up at the Ironman and, you know, which I had never done any of the distances. And the big thing that I feared the most was the swim, because normally in the river and anything, if I got tired, I just swam to the shore and got out. But I knew I had to swim, you know, miles, and it was going to be like I couldn't just stop, right? So it was good. And I had never done any of those distances. I had never done the swim or the 112 mile bike or a full marathon. So to me, when I showed up there, it was all first. But it is a huge mindset, and you know, I accomplished it, and it was a big part of my life to push your body to that limit. I couldn't walk the next day after I had a buddy pick us up at the finish line. And I was only like 19 or 20 or 19. This is before I joined the military. And he said, we're going to a party on the beach. You know, there'll be lots of girls there. They got a big fire. I went there. I think I drank a beer and a half, and then I laid on a picnic table and seized up. He had to carry me to my tent because I couldn't even walk. So lesson learned. Maybe that's why people hydrate after an Ironman.
Yeah, and
party.
Stretch and foam roll. Yeah. But
yeah,
you
roll.
Must
yeah.
have had to see aspect. It in your mind. And
oh, yeah, you have to see. And you do that for, you know, the 11 hours that you're out there. You know, you're thinking of that finish line and what it's going to feel like. And all the people, you know, cheering you on as you're coming down that last stretch and break the ribbon. You know, it is an amazing feeling, and I can see why people push themselves to that limit.
But if you don't see it happening, you never would have been able to finish that.
No, exactly. If I would decide, okay, I see myself getting rescued out of the swim, or I see my bike breaking down, or you know, whatever. Yeah, no, I didn't see mm-hmm. anything.
And I think people, you know, most people know this on some level, but the question I want to ask, you know, everyone who's listening is, have you ever really done that? Have you ever really pushed yourself to that limit where you're moving out of your comfort zone, you're moving out of your belief. And that was, you know, one of the experiences that I had most recently was when I competed in, you know, this competition where out of 15,000 people to transform my body at 43 years old. And I had tried to do this a number of times and I never really decided. Like, so I would decide to do, you know, I would decide to get fit. I would decide to, you know, get in shape. But as my decision was being made, I already had an excuse right behind it as to why it might not happen, you know. But this one particular time, I made the decision so deeply, so powerfully, that I literally almost puked when I made the decision. I remember I was sitting in the hot tub talking to my sister. I made the decision on such a deep level that I knew that I would not quit. I knew that I was going all in, right? And that was powerful. So the very first thing is really deciding what you want and declaring it. You have to declare it to someone. You declared that race to your parents. I declared that to my sister. I got out of the hot tub. I registered for my fitness competition. I took my pictures. I hired a trainer. And failure was not an option. Did I have hard days? Yes. Did I cry? Did I have bad days? Did I want to throw up? You know, it was hard, but failure was not an option. And one of my mentors called that an OSM. An oh shit moment. And it's like, when was the last time you had an OSM, an oh shit moment, especially when you hit your 40s? A lot of our OSMs are behind us.
That's true.
And
they are. Yeah.
To me, that's the sign of being alive. And I know that I'm happiest when I have those OSMs in front of me, when I'm moving towards something powerful. So for those who are listening and you're thinking, okay, I'm kind of in a funk or nothing's going on, when was the last time you had an OSM moment? So that's what my challenge is for everyone, is to really come up with that. So that's the first step, is really deciding, and deciding on the level that kind of makes you ill, deciding on that level that makes you think, oh my God, like I'm going to do this. Like, I've got to stay up late. I've got to get up early. I've got to push myself. That's the first step. And then seeing it and visualizing it. And have I ever told you, Jeff, about my 6 minutes to success?
Not that I remember.
Okay. So you know me, when I go to bed, I, you know, not to give people too much TMI, but I like to have a few minutes when I'm in bed, when I'm going to bed, as my own time. And that's the last 3 minutes before you fall asleep. And the first 3 minutes when you're waking up, those are your 6 minutes to success. And that's when you visualize and you feel it. Like when Jeff, when you were talking about smelling the deer, seeing the deer, being in the moment of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that is what you do as you're falling asleep and as you're waking up. So the last 3 minutes when you're falling asleep, the first 3 minutes as you're waking up, you're seeing it, you're feeling it, you're tasting it. And I would imagine that you probably do that a lot with things you don't even realize it.
Yeah, I imagine a lot of people do. Yeah, it's just part of everyday
life.
Yeah,
and if you want to attract somebody into your life, you're falling asleep and you're visualizing as if it's already happened. You're in the moment of it. So you could visualize that you just had sex with that person. You're falling asleep with them in your bed. You're waking up knowing that they're going to be there making you breakfast. You know, like, you visualize it and you feel the feelings as if it's already happened.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's great.
So that's the second step. So the second step is visualizing it and feeling it and seeing it and tasting it and knowing that it's showing up for you. And then we go out and we got to take massive action. Massive action until you reach your goal, right? I mean, when you went out to be a Sartec, you visualized it. You saw it. You decided. Like, you were pretty linear in your vision of that, right?
Yeah. Yes, and it becomes like any goal, it becomes almost an obsession. Obsession, I can't even say the word, but yeah, you're thinking it, you're breathing it, you know, it's all you want to do that day, you know what I mean? So, and that's when, you know, I know this a true goal is when it's all consuming. You can do is that it's mm-hmm. consuming. Yeah.
But sometimes the universe or God or whatever you believe doesn't have the same timeline, right? Do you want to speak to that?
Well, we talked about that in the first podcast, how I didn't get in the SAR the first time, but you know, I thought I did all the right things, but sometimes it's mm-hmm. just not your time. Right.
And some,
so, you know, everything for a reason, I guess, you know, we always say that in the military, we never lie to our students, but everything's for a reason. Right. You know, sometimes, you know, when you're taking a course or you're doing something, you're wondering why are they doing this, you know, but then 2 days later it all comes around and like, oh, that's why, you get your aha moment or whatever you have been taught. Mm-hmm. You know, everything's for a reason.
And that's been the experience of my life too, right? Like, you know, just even having my babies when I had them, and you know, going through my transformation when I did, and even just attracting money into my life and different things, there's, you know, the timeline isn't always what we expect it to be. But you know, one of my favorite things to do once you've decided and you know what you want is to write it out on a recipe card. And here's the magic way to write it out, and I'll tie in a story to this. So you take your little recipe card and you write down your goal 3 years from today. So in 2008, guys, when I watched that Law of Attraction and when I hired my life coach mentor and I started to really, you know, master these skills, we had to write out on a paper what we wanted to achieve. And we had to write it 3 years out. So I'm going to challenge all of you to write out 3 years from today. So you would say, you know, whatever the date is and 3 years out. So I wrote out from, it was 2008 and it was April. And I wrote, it's April 2011. It was 3 years late out. And I said, I am so happy and grateful. And that's what you have to write. I am so happy and grateful now that, and fill it in. So, you know, if you were to do it now, this is the month of January or February, you'd say it's February, you know, 2022. I'm so happy and grateful now that, and I wrote out, you know, I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm making over $100,000 a year, helping women transform their lives. There are hundreds of people that can't wait to work with me. I am so grateful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And there's a lot of emotion in that. And that's the magnet, right? It's the feeling. It's the feeling. What would the feeling be of helping all those people? Love, joy, happiness, abundance. So I wrote that out, stuck it on a recipe card, and stuck it up on my bulletin board. Remember, we had a bulletin board in our bedroom there, Jeff, in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
And three years later, guess what? I wasn't making $100,000 a year. But April 2012, 4 years later, I was making that 100,000. And here's the cool thing. It came 1 year later. The universe has its own timeline. Number two, it came in the form of network marketing. I thought it was going to be in the form of life coaching. I had no idea it was going to come in the form of shakes and internet or, you know, network marketing. I thought I had the plan, but the universe had a better plan. And it came in that form, and thank you very much. I'll take it. Even 1 year later, even in the form that it wasn't designed to be in.
That's great, Erin. Can I sum up a little story about that, about you? Yeah. So, I coach the girls rugby team at the, my kids' high school here. So it's grade 8 to grade 12. And, I've been doing this my third season. So anyhow, last season, you know, our goal was to try to make it to the provincials. You know, the team was a building team. We were non-competitive the first year. Then last year we went competitive. So anyhow, we had a team meeting and Erin came in and she talked to all the girls. There's about, you know, 40 girls there. And she basically went over what she just talked about, you know, write it down, write your goals. So the girls all did that on a card. 2.5 months later, we're getting ready to go to the provincials. We had qualified. And one of the girls pulls out her card, you know, this is 2.5 months, and shows Erin. And on her card, it says, I believe, you know, that we will go to the provincials. And it was pretty touching that, you know, she did it and it happened. And we ended up going to the provincials and actually placing third. So first time that this local high school had ever gone to the provincials, and to place third in BC was pretty amazing. So yeah, it's yeah, a pretty cool story.
And I did that with our daughter, Sydney. She, you know, she's such a great girl. She's such a little artist. She's so creative, but you know, she has to work hard to get her grades in school. And in grade 9, you know, in grade 8, all her friends kind of hit the honor roll and she didn't. So the next year she said, I really want to be on the honor roll. And I said, all right, girl, let's write it down. You know, it's June 2017 or whatever year it was. I'm so happy and grateful now that I'm on the honor roll. And lo and behold, she hit the honor roll, which I don't think she's hit it since, because we didn't keep writing it down. But you know what? She hit it that one year. And it's such a great lesson to teach your kids, and to even do it as a family, and to just really look out and say, okay, what would my ideal life look like in 3 years from now? So so that's the homework for everyone today, is to really think about, you know, where do you want to be in 3 years? This is your next chapter. This is your time, you know? So I want you to think about where you want to be in the next 3 to 5 years. Really decide, like really decide on that level, write it down, and then get into that feeling state where you're smelling it, you're tasting it, you're knowing it, you're experiencing it. And then do those 3 minutes in the morning, and those 3 minutes as you're falling asleep. That's when your subconscious mind is the most open to receiving. So spend the time in the morning, spend the time at night, visualize it, see it, know it, put that up on your bulletin board, and then let us know what you've been able to manifest into your life with this law of attraction.
Yeah, great, Erin. Thank you for that. That's awesome. Yeah, and I remember the rugby player, she had written down, yeah, it's May 2018, and I'm so happy we're getting on the bus going to the provincials, and it mm-hmm. and it works. So thank you.
Yeah, she pulled out that card.
Because maybe without you, we wouldn't have went to the provincials.
Well, she attracted that. So imagine if you had a whole family visualizing something, you know? So I think we're going to write that down, Jeff, for our oceanfront dream home. So we'll work on that. Yeah. All right, everyone. Well, thanks for tuning in to the Ageless Rebels podcast. And we will see you back here for our next episode. Have an amazing day. Bye.